very good Friday morning to you, March 11th, 2022. Daylight savings time approaches, so you know spring is getting ready to be sprung. We have the pastor's spot, as we do each and every Friday morning, about 9:15 a.m. until 10, with Pastor Steve Whitaker. Good morning, Pastor Steve. How are you today?
Good morning, Adam. How are you?
Oh, hanging in there, getting ready to add some daylight to the late afternoon, early evening hour, and make it a productive and fun prelude to the weekend.
Yeah, Frank and I were just talking about that coming in. So this is going to be a good day, even though we were
stuck in traffic.
Here this morning, we got Frank from Frank's. And anyway, good to be here today, Adam. I'm Pastor Steve Whitaker from Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. And with me is Frank Robinson.
Good morning.
Frank is usually joins me in here and lively this discussion up a little today. Everyone needs to wake up. The sun's out. It's going to be beautiful. Maybe I need to wake up, and that's the problem.
You know what's great about this weekend?
What's that?
We get to make snow cones outside.
Oh, I don't even hear that. We're talking about positive things. Hey, by the way, tonight at 7 o'clock at the church at Community Christian on 290 East Water Street in Prospect is our game dinner, and that's going to be a fun time.
It certainly will be.
And what are we talking about game?
Roadkill.
No roadkill. I hope no roadkill. But we're going to have people come and that have hunted and fished and done all those things over the year and see what they bring. I'm sure Tim will bring some camel or something odd.
Oh, kangaroo, I'm sure.
Kangaroo. He likes to go down to, what's the name of that place?
Middle Block. All of it. Jungle Gyms.
Jungle Gyms and find strange meats to eat. But anyway, we're going to do that and have some door prizes and a great speaker. Dave Mason's going to come, who's a wonderful Christian guy. He's hunted for years and years, and he has a hunting camp, he's going to tell some stories and some stories about life. So you're welcome to come to that. There is no admission cost.
Not at all. You know, one good thing about Dave, one great thing about Dave, is how Dave had a really heartbreaking year one year.
Oh, absolutely. A great loss in his life.
Yes, and how the Lord had turned that around for him and made him a witness to other churches and other people who were having the same type of problem.
You know, and that's something that Frank, that is admirable in his life, that he's been able to do that. And it's like, I did something. I'm starting a series this week at church that I'm still hanging out in Matthew and in the Sermon on the Mount, but I'm doing a series on the secrets to a successful life. And of course, the first one is God's grace and providence. And but then, you know, following that, there's work and growth.
Yes.
And constantly being steady at what you do, being honest, you know, those kind of things. But you know, you can go through those times in your life, but when you get on that track you need to be, you can come through.
Oh, absolutely.
You really can. I see that all the time with people. So on a brighter note, following that bright note, Frank, you're out of the frame a little bit.
Oh, okay.
All right, well, you're back in the frame.
I'll scoot over.
Good man. So anyway, back to the beginning. It's great to be here and here with Frank. Frank's always a blessing to be on the show all the time.
I buy the coffee.
He buys the coffee. Okay. So anyway, I'm going to repeat something here just for a minute because I forgot to hit the live button.
Oh, we weren't live.
Yeah,
so my best monologue just went.
We have a live feed, which is our live feed is at on Facebook at Community Christian Fellowship. So if you go there, you can watch live and you can pull it up and look at it any time. But again, I'm Pastor Steve Whitaker here with Frank Robinson.
Frank.
He's a lot of things. He's Fisherman Frank. He runs Frank's. No, he'd like to someday.
Oh, I would.
Hot dog stand. We'll talk about dreams a little bit. But anyway, we're talking about the game dinner
Yes, we are tonight at 7.
It's going to be great. A lot of people. You know, it's something interesting about that kind of stuff, and you know, we talk about the game that we've acquired through the year, whether it be by hunting or fishing, or as Frank mentioned,
roadkill.
It better not be roadkill. Yeah. you know, and I don't know. I don't think this is a situation that ever changes, and it's a good situation. In a way, and in a way, it's kind of, it can be a situation taken for granted. But it's real interesting. We plan these things, and we're going to have a lot of door prize and fun stuff. But it seems to be the women in our family that step up and take the reins and make sure it happens and goes off properly.
I think because so many times in the past years, we stumble.
Men stumble.
Yeah.
But they make sure, like, you know, like one question came up early, what are you going to have for side dishes? You know, that kind of thing.
Oh, side dishes.
Yeah, exactly. And, and you know, what are you going to do? You know, how is this going to go off? And yesterday, Kelly was at the church just scurrying around, getting tables set up and getting all the door prizes out and that stuff. By the way, it's at 7 o'clock. I'll repeat that again. And you're welcome to come. Bring a...
What's the address?
209 East Water Street in Prospect.
Oh, 7 okay.
o'clock. But bring a... if you don't have any wild game, bring a side dish or, but don't not come. You know, come yourself if you just want to.
Oh, absolutely.
And it'll be a great time. Like you said, Dave Mason is speaking, and Dave is a great speaker. But I want to talk a little bit about, you mentioned Dave earlier, that, you know, Dave went through some tragedy in his life for about a year, he and his wife and
yes.
his family, and how the Lord's used him, and he's really come through that. And I want to talk a little bit today about tragedies in our life and how the Lord brings us out. I don't know of a person that has not had a traumatic event in their life.
Yes.
And how when sometimes, you know, one of the hardest things you can, you know, people don't want to hear anything. In the midst of a tragedy, in the midst of something really traumatic in their life, you know, if someone comes up and they put their arm around and say, we just want you to understand that, you know, God's in control of this and he's got the situation. Sometimes people will balk and pull back from you in a way that... it's like, I don't want to hear that. I want to grieve. I
sure.
want to hurt. And sometimes the best thing we can do in those times is really be a listener.
Oh, absolutely.
And just let them know. You know, if anything, you know, you can let them know, you know, it may be hard right now to understand this, but God loves you so much. And but he or we love them, or we're here if you want us to be here. But sometimes people have to begin to work through things.
You know, that's probably one of the greatest trait of a friend who comes alongside somebody who's just had a traumatic episode. I refer back to Job, mm-hmm. and Job lost everything. But what he didn't lose was three friends.
Yeah.
And they came and they sat, and they didn't say anything for a long time. But they were there to listen. And that's the greatest help someone could have. Just knowing that somebody's there, the presence of somebody, you don't have to say anything.
Mm-hmm.
Just be there.
Absolutely. I had a friend that had a real tragedy years ago with his finding out his wife had a disease, and then his daughter was going to have to be born months early at the same time because of this disease that got acute suddenly. He talked about how the ones that meant the most to him was the ones that would just come to the hospital and sit with him.
Yes.
Not really say anything, just be there. And just the presence of them made so much difference. And, you know, God has that presence in our life. God's there.
Yes,
and,
he is.
We forget that, you know, we go through these things. God is, he's there. And we have to, you know, we don't want to think about it at the time, but trust me, you know, you've seen, there was an old poster out one time or a saying about, you know, when you're walking and there's only one set of footprints, it's because God's carrying you.
That's right.
And he's still walking beside you. But, yeah, but the thing is, you know, and as men, we struggle with this. One of the things we struggle with is we just want to get in there and fix things. You know, Frank's having a problem in his life. If Frank's having a problem in his life, I'm being hypothetical here.
Oh no, don't be. Frank has a lot of problems in life.
But I want to go in and sit down and say, Frank, you know, here's how we're going to fix it. Well, yeah. Maybe what I need to do is listen, especially in the heat of a situation. And that's one of the biggest problems men have with women, is that they're always trying. Sometimes women just want to be heard.
Oh, absolutely. They don't want you fixing anything.
No, they want to be heard, and they want to express what's on their heart and their mind.
Sure.
And they want to be able to vent and get it out, and they want you to understand, but they don't want you to say, belittle them, honestly, mm-hmm. in a sense, by saying, wait a minute, stop, here's the fix.
Well, that's
the problem. That's how we're wired.
We're all Mr. Scott. You know Mr. Scott on Scotty on Star Trek? He's always fixing something.
I was never a Trekkie.
Oh, you weren't?
Oh, no.
Oh.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
But anyhow, we're just wired to fix things. Whether we do it right or not, we have the idea on how to fix it.
You know, it's kind of weird. It gives me a thought. You guys understand I have ADD really bad. But anyway, my mind flies all over the place. But that's a gift God gave me in a lot of ways, to be honest. We'll talk about that another day. But you're talking about Star Trek, and I was never into science fiction. And it's really funny how things come full circle, because today, most of the science we hear is fiction.
Yes, it is, isn't it?
Yeah, honestly. It changes by the month. It's funny, I heard something the other day that, you know, for years they were telling you that if you, and doctors would say you need to drink a glass of wine a day or have one alcoholic drink a day.
Right.
It's good for your mind, it's good for your heart, it's good for all these things. And the other morning, the news was on, and they came out with this special survey and study that they've been doing for years now, where they actually found out that one drink a day will shrink the brain up to a massive amount and lead into Alzheimer's. And I'm thinking, you people, you know, let some of this stuff go. I mean, you know, okay, the science was here, and now the science is here. What science do we believe? The only science I'm believing is the one that coincides with the Word of God, and that's all of science.
Well, you know, one time theology was science.
Mm-hmm.
That was the science of the day.
It's amazing how many things in the Bible are proven today and opens up through science. Well, yeah, of course.
Sure.
You know, a lot of God's laws, a lot of things God said that we shouldn't do, shouldn't eat. Some of the laws in the, you know, clear back when the way of life was given and what they were to do and how their practice, how the Hebrew people were, and things that they were not supposed to be, the Israelites, things they were not supposed to be partaking of, and we think, well, why would he even do that? And then we find out years later there's actually medical stuff behind
it. Oh, absolutely.
That they had no clue of knowing back then.
That's right.
That's kind of cool. But anyway, back to our original subject was, you know, going through difficult times in your life and God using you and bringing them out of that. I heard an example the other day on the radio, which is just amazing to me. Johnny Erickson Tata, I think you know who she is. Johnny Erickson Tata?
Yes.
Well, Tata's her married name. Her maiden name was Erickson. But she's 17 years old. She had a very crippling diving accident. And she became paralyzed from the neck down. If someone hadn't have been there with her, she would have never made it, because mm-hmm. all those functions stopped when she broke her neck.
Yes.
And she is our age. She's, you know, she's retirement age now, and it's been a long time. It's been 45 years since that accident, at least. And at the time, she prayed to God for healing, and that she would be healed, and had all the faith in the world that she would. And that day never came. Now,
right. It
would have been a wonderful testimony to God had that healing miraculously happened, right?
Right.
Well, but there's something different that happened. She started out with, I remember when I was quite a young adult, she started out doing these beautiful, encouraging postcards, drawing pencil with her teeth and mm-hmm. drawing that way. And it blossomed and blossomed from there, and she became an unbelievable motivational and Christian speaker about what God has done in her life and the grace of God. And what God can mean to you in your life, and accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, living for Christ. and she's traveled the world. She's done this for years, and mm-hmm. she's literally spoke to hundreds and hundreds of thousands of audiences and women's audiences. And
what a amazing ministry.
There's a miracle.
Oh,
there's
yes.
a miracle, and there's your answer to God's prayer.
Absolutely.
See, God does not always answer in the way that we're expecting him to answer.
That's right.
And God had a bigger picture in mind for her. And, you know, she got married years later to a wonderful man. They've been married for years. Mm-hmm. She still, every day, people have to get her up. They got to do everything that she needs from her neck down every day. That's part of her daily schedule. And they get her dressed, and they do her hair or makeup, and
yes.
and she goes out and about, and every day starts her day meeting people, talking, doing all the. She has a massive amount of appointments. She still has an amazing schedule, and she says that this is what God chose for her. She wouldn't trade it for anything.
Look how many lives she touched.
Absolutely, how many people have been changed by her tragic situation and what she's going
That's
through.
Right,
and that's what I think sometimes. Sometimes we have to. Sometimes we really have to understand that God just has a bigger picture than we do. He sees everything where we see a little bit. You know, it's like
yes.
And we can apply that to so many different areas as we think about it. You know, you take a mouse in a little mouse cage.
Mm-hmm.
His whole world is that mouse.
Oh,
cage.
Absolutely.
Whole world. And all our whole world is what we see around us, the influences, the stimuluses, the things that happen to us, what stimulates our thought process and our mind. And God sees this huge picture that we have no clue of. And God says, wait a minute, I know that you want to do the A, B, or C, but mm-hmm. I know better than you.
I have a bigger plan for
it. I got a better plan for you.
Sure.
And I think we have to understand that. You know, everyone deals with loss. We talked to so many people in the last year or two about mm-hmm. Death. And, you know, it seems like during this COVID period, it was death constantly. It was actually there before. It's just that it seems like this time every death was focused on more.
That's right.
Was it COVID? Was it not? So, mm-hmm. you know, every death seemed to be brought to the forefront of everyone's attention. Well, you know, that death and that tragedy has always been there. And, how do we deal with that? I love, as a pastor, one of the ministries that I have is bereavement ministry
yes.
when someone's passed. And my door stays open to those people that have lost someone long after I do a funeral. And if I can comfort them and help them walk through that.
Absolutely.
And see that, you know, let's just say there's life after death more than one way.
Mm-hmm. That's true, Steve, and that's one thing we have to remember to do, those who have lost a family member or a loved one, to keep the door open and to make contact with them on a regular basis, just to see how they're progressing.
Absolutely. And, you know, when you do lose a person in life, I guess, I don't know why we use the term lose. I guess it's a little softer term to use. You don't really lose them. You should know where they're at.
Oh, absolutely.
But when you know that you're going to see someone again one day in heaven, and it takes the sting. You know, the Bible says death, where is your sting?
That's right.
And there's no sting because, you know, none of us will experience death. Now you think about
it. Oh, no, not at all. It's just transitioning.
Well, but the thing that we don't understand is that we're living, and the second that we die, we're not dead anymore. I pray that you're alive in Christ and in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is, it's not like you're going to go immediately from one to the next in a split second. So it's not like you're going to be, you see what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah,
I mean,
when we take that step, we'll be more full of life.
Yes. And we have that to look forward to. Unfortunately, you know, people that refuse to believe that, refuse to trust God with their life and trust Jesus Christ as their Savior of their life, they don't have that.
No.
And it's so much more of a hollow thing. I remember preaching a funeral one time, and I hadn't heard from a lady afterwards for a while, and I contacted her. It was a close family member that had passed, and she said, you know, all that stuff's wonderful if it were true. And I said, it is true. Mm-hmm. And, you know, part of the problem we run into today with people not buying and believing, understanding and realizing the truth of Scripture is this, that, A, they decide not to, and B, people just don't look into anything anymore. I mean, no. Don't you think that end of life should be so important that you'd want to know the truth? Why don't people research? Why don't people say, you know what, God, if you're real, I want to, you know, show me.
Sure.
You know, let's look. I mean, it's an important thing.
Oh, absolutely. We're told to try.
So the point is, you know, those evidences are there. Those proofs are there.
I think we've just become so used to having all this knowledge at our fingertips that if you took down the internet, a lot of people wouldn't know where to look.
And part of the problem is we're told what to believe.
That's right.
And you know, anyone that won't, that you've got to be willing to compare apples to apples, even apples to oranges sometimes. But you have to be willing to dig into research things. Isn't life important enough for you to do that?
Oh, I would think
and,
so.
You know, we're fed a belief system, and even as we're brought up through school, we're fed a belief system. We're fed a belief system through Hollywood. We're fed a belief system through everything that we see through media. And look, if I truly want to know what life's about, those are the wrong places to be going.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, I don't want someone feeding me a belief system that is doing it for ratings. I mean, think about that. I would much rather say, you know what, let's look at this. Let's compare this. If what you're saying is true, let's look into it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's dig into it. You remember The Case for Christ?
Oh, absolutely. Great book.
Yeah. He was am I not mistaken, was he a former prosecutor?
I think he was. Yes, he was in the law field.
And he decided that he was going to prove that none of this was true.
Yes.
And he came out the other end saying, "There's no way it's not true."
Yeah.
And but you know, we don't seem to have those investigative desires today. We live from stimulus to stimulus to stimulus to stimulus. And the fact is, if we would settle into a heartfelt belief and a love, we wouldn't need those stimuluses
constantly.
That's right. Because we'd be satisfied in ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
That's why so many people, I mean, when when things aren't there, when they can't go out and buy something, or they're jealous of what other people have, they're just all down in the dumps. It's amazing, you know, we live in a country where everyone's supposed to have the same thing these days.
Yes.
Whether they work, whether they don't, whether they work hard, with everyone's supposed to be able to have the same things. And while that sounds good, it's really not an optimum way for things to function. And mm-hmm. I know when I grew up, we were on the lower end of that scale of having things.
And well, we had center cut bologna.
You had center cut bologna. Oh, yeah. That's nice stuff. Yeah. Yeah. Prime bologna.
Prime
bologna for what? Fried.
Fried.
Yes. But anyway, you know, I had friends that had a lot and could have basically their parents bought them things constantly, or we had neighbors. But we all got along well, and we just, there was an understanding that, look, this is what your dad makes. This is what my dad makes. Nobody was better than the other, but because of what he makes and what he does, you guys have this and my dad this. Mm-hmm. And it was an understanding.
Sure.
You know, I never knew I was poor. until I was told I was poor later in life. A friend of mine, you know Carolyn Crispin.
Oh, yes.
Carolyn was at the Methodist Church in Prospect for a long time. Carolyn told me one day, she said, "I never knew I was poor until I went to college."
Mm-hmm.
And was told that I was poor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's the whole point, you know.
But we had a happy state of life, though.
Oh, my word. You know, yeah. I look forward to the simple things, you know.
Sure.
We might, you know, once a month on a ride on a Sunday, pull into White Castle and get two hamburgers, a fries, and a Coke for 65 cents or whatever it was.
Once a month, Dad would take us down to, now I'm going back to Linden area in Columbus.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. And there was a hardware store there, Linden Hardware, and we would stop in. But he would always buy a Three Musketeer bar. And he said, you know why it's called Three Musketeers?
Because you have three musketeers.
Because we could divide it three ways. And this is a nickel candy bar.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know.
Absolutely.
But that was a treat.
That was a treat. And I remember Mom and Dad, you know, there were five of us. Mom and Dad would order a pizza, and they ordered a pizza. And
really?
Well, I mean, this is rare. I can, in my mind's eye right now, I can remember the times they ordered a pizza.
Yeah.
So you,
I understand.
You know what
yeah.
I'm saying? But what I'm saying, when they did was, it came and you know, you divided it up, and that's the way it went. Mm-hmm. There was two pieces for each person. You were happy. I got two pieces of pizza. Mom made some Kool-Aid, and we happened to have.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and
that was a treat.
You know,
Kool-Aid.
Friday, I think Shirley told me they used to, in her family, they had popcorn and Kool-Aid on Friday night.
Yes, we would.
Because remember, Friday night used to be the family time, mm-hmm. and there were family shows on all night. And then, of course, it got a little spooky later because we'd have like chiller theater on it at 11.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Yep. Everybody was supposed to be in bed unless you were older.
And you could stay up until 1 o'clock when it went off the air.
I think the point we're getting at is the fact that not everybody has everything, and we got to stop this. We got to quit basing our personal value on what we have physically. Mm-hmm. That's not what it is. God gave you intrinsic value before you were even born. He knew you. And he decided that he had a plan for your life. And if you'll just say, you know what? What if you don't know God, or if you don't know he's true? I promise you, God says that anyone that calls out his name, he will know in no wise cast out.
That's right.
And if you ask, if you say, Lord, I want to know. I want to know who you are. Please show me. Help my unbelief.
Aren't we told to ask for wisdom?
We are told to ask for wisdom. And that's why it says we don't have it, because we don't ask for it.
That's right.
And I think that when we get to that point where we decide that we realize there's more to life, and we want to say, God, if you're there, show me. If all this stuff I've been learning is not true, help me to know the truth. And then genuinely accept what he shows you and walk with it. You know, as you begin to understand who God is and what Jesus Christ has done for you on the cross and paid for all that stuff, you don't have to carry it anymore.
No, not at all.
And you accept that. And then from that point, you begin to lead that life that he's made a way for you and a path for you. It's not always the path you thought about. And what's really funny, odd, is even the people, because we live in this world, and because the effects of the world and everything around us, and it's so much harder for people today than it used to be. It really is, because there's so much more stimulus, and there's so much more that we're supposed to be doing, and there's so much more that's supposed to make us normal people in society, that even when we're walking that path we're trying to do and be who God intended us to be, we constantly still get bumped by that stuff that tries to reshape us and re-guide us into what the world says we should be. You know, the soccer mom that just has to stay the soccer mom, even though it's taken all the time away from her family. Her kid could still play soccer.
Sure.
Which is great. I have no problem. That's great. But, you know, she has to plug into everything because, you know, that defines her.
That's right.
And, now, maybe God's plan is for her to be that person that's involved with that group of people that was given them that influence about what is right. But they better make sure that people see and realize that first and foremost, she's that person that wants to do what God wants her to do. And God first, and that other stuff is not first in her life.
The same way with a male. I was once told, just because you worked all the hours, or you work all the hours, and you're always working and never home, doesn't make you a good partner or father.
No, it doesn't.
But that's the mindset that men have.
Right. Right.
And
it's like that commercial they have, you know, where they show the dad doing different things. It says, you know, 20 minutes at 2 hours at a ball game, and this and that. Priceless. Those times are priceless.
They are.
When I look back at my parents, and they've been gone a long time from here, and when I look back, the times I think about with them are priceless. And
yes.
I wish there was more of those, and I wish that I could have more of those priceless time with my kids. But they're all out there chasing what they have to do to get along too in life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes I can forget about the discipline of simplicity. And to me, when I studied the spiritual disciplines in school, one of the most important, the one that stood out to me, and I really got, you know, my getting it. Doesn't mean you're always perfect in it. is the discipline of simplicity, because things take up so much of what's in front of us. It's not where we do. You know, other people can look at what you do and think, well, this is taking all your time, and maybe they don't understand that's somewhere you need to be at the moment.
Yes.
And that's somewhere where you're continuing a witness. It's very hard sometimes. We talked about this on the way in, how a pastor is 24 hours.
Oh, absolutely.
It doesn't go away. It's on your mind. People are on your mind. That's God. See, that's a gift God gave us, to that, because that's the plan he laid out. Mm-hmm. And you have to take that time for family. You have to love your family. But I've over the years, I've spent a lot of time in the schools doing different things, whether it's subbing or being there for this.
Sure.
And the other day, I was at the school in the morning. I pulled up the, I call it the white chariot, to drop those kids off.
Yeah.
And one of the former elementary principals, she's, a lady came up, and she, we were talking, and she said, you know, how many years have you been here? And I went, what do you mean been here? She was talking about how many years have you been here as an influence of these kids and loving people. Mm-hmm. And I told her, she said, you know, just thank you for that.
Oh, absolutely.
And you don't think about that. No. But, you know, it's that influence that you're there. It's all part of what you do. It's all, God begins to make your life around you. Remember where Jabez said, you know, Lord, enlarge my territory.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
It started out with him being a righteous man and what he did. And, you know, we have to pray daily that we are that righteous person, that he does work in our life. And then, you know, Lord, enlarge our territory, whatever that may be.
Yes.
And, sometimes, I've had pastor friends over the years that never leave their office, other than to go to a luncheon with another pastor. I mean, come on, you know, there's a lot of growth.
What about community?
Yeah, what about community? And they'll sit in there and they'll fine tune their message, and I know guys straight up, I'm telling you this, I know guys that have even practiced their message in front of a mirror. How in the world is the Holy Spirit supposed to lead when you're leading it up to your face? To, yeah. You know, I just never got that.
When I was in seminary, they even videotaped. That's when video, you know, yeah, big camera and everything, and they would tear it apart afterwards and tell you to throw your hands a little bit.
Yeah, we were lower tech than that. They just told the other students to grade us and give comment. You know, we give a short sermonette or whatever. And but anyway, it's not about that. You know me, and it's not about that. And I'm much more satisfied with that. I let the Lord lead. I do my studying. I do my studying when people don't even realize it sometimes. Mm-hmm. It may be in the middle of the night. It may be in the morning early. It may be a lot of it is honestly done while I'm driving.
Mm-hmm.
I know that sounds
odd. Is that where you find your peace?
That is.
That's where I find mine. That's why I take so many road trips by myself.
I can take a rough day, and I can just take an hour out of it and just drive and be in my thoughts with the Lord and pray. Maybe listen to a good message on over the waves,
yes,
whatever it may be. And you know, I get encouraged. And because, you know, we know that we have to have that wisdom, we have to have that knowledge, we have to know, we have to learn all the time. You know, things are brought to my mind during that time, and it's such a great encouraging time for me. And but we need that, you know, when back to how God uses us through tragedy. It was only through the tragedies in my life that I completely turned to God and said, look, I've done it my way long enough. I can't keep this up, because it's not working.
I understand.
I'm never happy. I'm looking for things to make me happy, and that's not going to be. We should be able to be content with ourselves, even if we're living in a tent on a mountain somewhere.
That's right.
Now, I could never be content that way. I dream about it sometimes. I love the peace and serenity of that, but I've got to be out there doing what I believe God has called me to do, to love people, encourage people, and to be a witness for Him of who He is and what He does. And so I couldn't do that. But I'm saying, even in that situation, we should be the kind of people that are content with that, and don't have to. You know what? I'm getting to the point, I don't want to embarrass anybody else around me. I don't want to embarrass the church or my family or anyone else. But I really getting to the point, if you don't know me by now, there's been some songs written called that.
That's right.
If you don't know me by now. If you don't know me by now, please be okay with how I'm dressing that day or how I look or what I do or what I drive. If I drive a car down the road and it's got a smashed fender, there's probably a reason that it's got a smashed fender.
That's right.
And if I haven't fixed it yet, there's probably a reason I haven't fixed it. Mm-hmm. So just know me and quit worrying about what I'm driving.
Absolutely.
Does that make sense? What do you think, Adam? Does that make sense?
I would say so. Look at the whole person. Look at the quality of the person. Don't be materialistic.
Absolutely. Materialism kills. We should have a bumper sticker that says that.
Yeah, that's a good slogan.
People present themselves in different ways. You know, me, I'm a casual but neat kind of a guy.
Yeah.
If you saw me all dressed up in a three-piece suit, you would think I'm trying to hide something because that's not really my personality. And of course, it's your background, upbringing, your occupation.
I think that we have to be respectful of where we are and who we are sometimes, and who we're representing. But I think that we really, really need to be ourselves. We have a good friend, Ted, that if you look at Ted, pictures of Ted when he was 18, and Ted's now 65 and 4.
He's the youngest.
No, younger than you. He's older than me.
Oh, is he really?
That's, anyway, Ted is wearing the same clothes.
He hasn't changed.
He hasn't changed. I mean, not physically
outside
the same shows,
yeah.
clothes, but the same. I mean, he's dressed the same today as he did 40 years ago, and it's because, you know what? He's himself. Yeah. This is me, and this is, and you know, come on, folks. You know, but what I'm getting about with the contentment is the contentment with life. We don't always have to, you know, the Bible talks over and over about, you know, putting on airs. You know, one of the biggest sins that was speaks of in the Bible is pride.
Yes.
Is self-pride. You know, look at me and the arrogance of self-pride. It doesn't help anyone. It doesn't make you more approachable.
No, not at all. In fact, it is detrimental to it.
And, you know, I think that it can even be detrimental in the church because, you know, a lot of people, you look at them and they're putting on something that really isn't them. So don't do it. Yeah. I mean, don't bring that into the church if you can help it. One thing I love about our congregation at Community Christian Fellowship is the fact that, my word, do we have a bunch of people who are themselves. I mean, I really believe that. We all struggle with what's around us affecting us. We do.
Yes.
And what other people expect. But, I mean, you're talking about a group of people that can get together and get down to brass tacks. And I've shared before, I think, you know, like at our men's breakfast, you know, and women's do the same. You got a whole group of guys sitting around talking about, and they'll dive into a personal situation, and they're fine with everyone hearing it because mm-hmm. they know no one's judging them.
Right.
And they know no one's gonna if anything, if they're gonna pray about it, if it's a bad situation, or if it's just something the person needs to get off their chest and share, they can, without fear of A, retribution, B, someone spreading it all over town, because you know we're supposed to be there for each other. And if you put on a mask and someone that you're not supposed to be, no one's gonna trust you with anything.
Oh, not at all.
So no. You know, try be honest with yourself, be yourself, and you know that's kind of really the way we just need to be. But we keep straying from what we're talking about this morning, and it's kind of funny because maybe this is what we're supposed to do this morning. But, you know, the thing of going through tragic situations and coming out the other end, mm-hmm. you know, it breaks my heart when I think about it that my kids never knew my dad, and my wife never knew my dad. They would have loved my dad. He was an mm-hmm. ornery piece of work. But he loved people. He would give you the shirt off your back, but he didn't watch. He might take two back. But but the point is, they've never known him. They never got to know my father, and that's hard. And when I look at that and the tragedy of being a 13-year-old that loved his father dearly, and suddenly him being taken away that abruptly, it was hard. And I look back, and a lot of things as a teenager weren't fair. You know, my friends went home, did things with their dads. Mm-hmm. I didn't have that. I didn't have a dad for advice. I didn't have a dad to whip my butt. And sometimes I needed that butt fired up, I'm telling you. I was pretty much unbridled as a teenager. I think God did a great job of keeping me in check to a point, because my mom was just too overwhelmed to to handle the raising and the discipline of a teenage boy at that point. And my brother, older brother, same deal. He was 4 years ahead of me, so he wasn't long for being at home much longer. He left and went in the service. But, you know, it's amazing when I look back on what God has done in our lives. And God has done those things, not in spite of those situations, but he used them, and a lot of us because of those situations.
That's right.
The things were directed, things happened, things that probably wouldn't have happened had that situation not happened. And so even through tragedy, God brings in wonderful things in our lives. And those are the kind of things that we need to be teaching our young people. Not that death is all, you know, life here is all there is, then there's death and you go away. Can you imagine, you know, how does a kid process that when they lose a friend or a family member, that they're just gone and their life was nothing, but, you know, what's the point? Yeah, and then you bring up God and say, why, if there was a loving God, why would he do that? Well, we have to understand that that this world is, we live in a rough, sinful world, and that's the way it is.
Yes.
And God's there for us. He's always there for us. I mean, he caused it, but he's there for us to help us pick up the pieces. And we need to understand that and grasp that and know that.
You know, that's one question I get a lot of times, Pastor Steve, is if God is such a loving God, why did he permit this? Or why does he allow this?
Well, because he didn't make a robotic world.
That's right. And he did have a solution for it.
His son.
That's right, Jesus Christ.
We live in a fallen world. We're not robots. We have free will.
Yes.
Free will to do what we want. We have free will to do good, and we have free will to do evil. And God loved us enough, because he knows we're going to do evil, he sent his son to pay for that evil.
That's right.
And he did.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have to live in guilt of that evil. Doesn't mean we're not going to struggle with those things.
Oh, it's just
because it's always around
sure.
us, and it is a struggle.
Yes,
you know, that's if I have a personal thorn in the flesh, as Paul talked about struggle, is the fact with constantly reconciling actions, thoughts that are not becoming to who God would desire me to be. And you just wish sometimes that stuff would go away and not annoy you. But I think sometimes that God keeps you in check with that.
Oh, absolutely.
Because
it's a way of growth.
You know, if things come too easy, we become spoiled, and we don't appreciate them. And we begin to, with my own self, you know, when things are too easy and go along too well, it's always been easy for me to suddenly just get all cocky about it, and everything's great and hunky-dory. And, you know, God... I talked about pride being something that, you know, Jesus talked about a lot in the evils of pride. Pride's something that I know that when I start climbing that ladder to a pedestal, he's real quick to knock the legs out from under it. So I've learned, let's just keep yourself off that pedestal, moron. And, you know, work towards humility and being humble. Don't ever call yourself humble.
I should have told you that story.
But work towards humility.
That's right.
Hey, it's been a great discussion today. We do have the game dinner tonight at 7 o'clock at the church. Come if you'd like. We'd love to have you. Great speaker. Dave Mason is going to talk to us, and he's got some great stories. He messaged me yesterday. He said he'd been thinking and praying about it all week, and good. That's wonderful. I think people really enjoy him. But you know, we're at 209 East Water Street in Prospect. It's Community Christian Fellowship. Our phone number is 740-494-2222, or we are also at prospectccf.com. And you can catch this show not only repeating here at the station over the airwaves, but you can catch this live feed on the Pastor Spot. So look at that and look it up, and there's past shows. You know, God bless you guys. It's been great being here today. We're about out of time, aren't we, Adam?
About 2 minutes and 4 seconds left.
Well, we've got 2 minutes and 4 seconds. Let's, Frank.
Steve?
Tell us a little bit. You know, Frank just had a new grandson, first new grandson he's ever had.
Yes.
And tell us a little bit about that grandson you've got.
He's just a treasure. He took 30 years off my life when he was born. I mean, just that new joy. I have prayed for that, prayed for a grandson to carry on the Robinson name for 3 years. And I'm so honored.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes,
he's
it is.
He's a cute little rascal. I've seen pictures of
him. Oh, when I see his eyes, he's so intent.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to analyze what it is he's looking at.
Well, you better give him some good things to be intent about. And
oh, absolutely.
You got at least 20 years of a teaching job.
Absolutely.
And
I'm starting to make a fishing rod for him already.
You know, we got just a minute. I can tell this funny story. When we were camping a few years ago, and my grandson Titus was just a little rascal, and he didn't have a fishing pole.
He still is.
And I had a reel, and we went and found a stick. And we actually made a fishing pole with that reel on it. And we took fish hooks, and we nailed them into the rod to make the eye hooks.
Sure.
But anyway, and we carved on the side of it, Poppy, Titus, and I ran into it the other day. What a treasure to me.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's something that I hope is a treasure to him one day, too, as he looks back, and it's those wonderful memories.
Yes.
And God gives us those things. Just look for the simple things, folks. They're out there. Quit trying to grab the big things, you know, where as the Bible says, moth and rust does destroy.
Yeah, it does. Just look at the junkyards.
New cars always get old.
Yes.
God bless you guys, and have a good one.
Thank you again, Pastor Steve and Frank, for the Pastor's Spot every Friday, 9:15 to 10, right here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio.